So the story goes that there was a couple who left their home in Bangor, Maine, and drove up into the mountains for a little sightseeing on a fall Saturday afternoon like this one. Go see the leaves on the trees, the ruggedness of nature, and they drove amongst the winding roads up in the mountains of Maine. And as it got to the late afternoon, they finally decided they needed to head home, and so they started to turn around and drive home, only they couldn't remember the way they came. And they didn't have any GPS signal up there in the mountains. So they drove around for a good long time till finally they decided we got to ask somebody for help. And as they drove past an old house, they saw a couple of gentlemen sitting on the front porch. They pulled into the driveway and asked them, could you help us find our way home? And they said, where is your home? Well, we live in Bangor. And so the one gentleman said, well, that's easy. I can get you to Bangor. You go down this road to the right. And when you see the red mailbox, now not the light red mailbox, the dark red mailbox, you're going to turn right at that time. And that road winds down the hill, goes over the creek, but you want to turn right again before you get to the, oh, wait a sec. I'm not, at that moment, the other gentleman spoke up and said, no, you're wrong, Leroy. What you want to do is go left out of this driveway, and you want to go past the big old oak tree, the one with the swing on it, and there you just keep going straight down the hill, around the curve, until you see the old schoolhouse, and then at the old schoolhouse you can go straight or left or right, but you want to go right at that one, but then go left right away after that house. I think that's called Fairfield Avenue, but if it's not, take it anyway. And then you go on Fairfield Avenue for another maybe 2 miles, and then you, oh, wait a sec here. Jerry Leroy speaks up and says, let me tell you, the right way to go is you go right and then pick up where I left off, and then you're gonna make two lefts, and then. Finally, Jerry said, you know, folks, I'm not sure you can get there from here. I'm not sure you can get there from here. I was following the scriptures that Dorothy read, pondering them this week. Jeremiah passage is a letter he wrote. Letter he wrote to those who were taken in exile. This is about 600 BC or so. There, the country of Israel had been conquered by Babylon, and many people had been taken into exile to Babylon. Now, Jeremiah had been predicting this, even though the people wouldn't listen. He had told them that Babylon would conquer them, but the people weren't paying attention, and indeed it happened. So after years of pounding them on the head for their sinfulness and how God would punish them using the Babylonians, now that it had happened, he sends this letter of comfort. He sends it to the exiles, the leaders there, and he says, though, something that surprised the people there. For normally, if you are a prisoner in exile, your instructions are is do anything to resist, to hold them off, to make the life difficult for their captors. But Jeremiah's instructions are different, aren't they? Build houses, he says, plant gardens, get married, give your sons and daughters in marriage. In other words, try to live a normal life. Sage, practical advice. Jeremiah's instructions are not for the exiles to seek a way home, to get out of there, to escape. His instructions are how to live comfortably, fully, in their captivity. You see, while these were very practical items for the people, underneath this is a very theological understanding that would revolutionize Jewish thought. For in this letter, Jeremiah makes a statement about God that rearranged the thought of the Jewish people. Up until that point, the Jewish people saw their home as the promised land, Jerusalem at the center, and at the center of that was the temple, and that's where God lived. If you wanted to find God, you went to the temple in Jerusalem, and there you would find God. There you would offer your sacrifices to God. There was the center of their faith. And now they were removed from that area, could not get to the temple, and even if they went back to Jerusalem, they would have found the temple in ruins. And so Jeremiah says, make yourselves at home where you are. A sort of bloom where you are planted, or when life gives you lemons, make lemonade sort of theology. But he adds one part that anchors it. He says, pray for the welfare of the people. Pray for the welfare of the country you are in, for in their welfare is your welfare. This was the revolutionary thought, that they could pray to God where they were. In far-off Babylon, far removed from their homeland, they found God was there. And Jeremiah gives us a reason for all this practical advice. For surely, he writes, you know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare, not for harm, to give you a future with hope. It is God's faithfulness that Jeremiah is speaking about. And in the letter that Dorothy read, 2 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy a similar thought. Paul is writing from prison. To Timothy, his protege, who is struggling to get a church going, to be the pastor of that church. And he's giving advice to Timothy, but he begins his letter by saying that he is in chains. He, Paul, is in chains, but that the word of God is not chained. The word of God is not limited to here, there, or anywhere. It is unchanged, unleashed on the world, making a difference. And thus, Paul is connecting with Jeremiah's in asserting God's faithfulness wherever we may be. I thought about all this week. It's going to be an exciting couple of days in Westerville this week, isn't it? I had dreams since closing off the churches. I was going to wander the streets of Westerville on Tuesday and see what's going on. But as you know, I'm got some official duties at Presbytery, and they scheduled a big meeting at 4 o'clock. So I'm going to be downtown in Columbus at 4, and then I'm going to try to drive back here. Who knows how close I'll be able to get. I'll probably have to park down at City Barbecue, right? And walk all the way up here, that sort of thing. I was thinking about the big debate that's going on and all the politics going on in the nation, and wondering if we didn't feel a bit like we're lost in our own country. The Fourth Monday group has been studying a book over the past several months called Strangers in Their Own Land, written by a sociologist who went to rural Louisiana a decade ago and decided to try to figure out what was going on with the cultural divides in this country that she perceived. And so she befriended many, many people down there and wrote about the experience. And she determined that she sees the cultural divide as people in our country are finding themselves strangers in their own land. And maybe that's true. Maybe the world and the country doesn't look like we'd expect it to, like we thought it to. There seems to be a lot of rancor going on, a lot of differences of opinion, a lot of fighting over things. And yet, in some way, deep within us, we long to find our way home. And yet, like the travelers in Maine, we keep wondering, can we get there from here? Maybe Jeremiah gives us a hint on that, on how do we get there from here. As he tells us that how we find our home is not to go seeking God somewhere else, but realizing God is there with us. In God, we find our home. We find our home wherever we may be because God's faithfulness is there with us. So we build houses and plant gardens, and most of all, pray for the welfare of those in the city where you live. I was thinking that when I do finally make it back into uptown Westerville on Tuesday, probably just as the debate is finishing, I'm going to do what Jeremiah told me to do, is pray. Pray for the welfare of all the people gathered there, the debaters, the political operatives, the protesters, the watchers, the hangers-oners, the people like me, just one watching a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I'm going to pray for all of them. I'm going to pray beyond that. I'm going to pray for all those who are on social media, all those who are watching on their TVs at home, all those who decided they can't watch or don't want to watch. Pray for all those in our country. And then I'm going to go beyond and pray for our world. Because Jeremiah told us to pray for the welfare of all these people. For in their welfare, Jeremiah says, is our welfare as well. All that is not an easy path to take. Some say it might take a miracle. But I like to think of a quote I once heard, and I can't figure out who to attribute it to, but the quote I remember was, people usually consider walking on water or in thin air a miracle. But I think the real miracle is not to walk either on water or thin air, but to walk on the earth. Jesus walked on water, he rose into thin air, but he also walked on the earth. He walks so we might learn to walk on the earth as well. And we are reminded in Scripture that where Jesus is, so is our home. Amen.